The question today is it easy to be saved? Is it easy to be saved? As we think about this, I guess the best place to go would be to the Bible. Because if you go to the world's going to tell you it's easy to be saved. Because Jesus has done all he's going to do on the cross of Calvary. He took all of the work out of it, and it's easy to be saved. Well, it's true. He's not going to do anything else on Calvary. He's not going to do anything else. There's nothing else to be done because he said it's finished as far as what needs to be done for us to be saved, as far as the actual sacrifice is concerned. But there must be a completed work of the Holy Ghost conviction in your heart that brings you to the place of real salvation. And so what does the Bible say? And I guess the best place would be to look at the one we call the rich young ruler, which in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse number 17, and the verses following that, it talks about him. And, of course, Matthew and Luke deals with this as well, because this is something in the synoptic. But here's, we'll use the one in Mark, the story about it. And it says, and when he was, verse 17, of Mark 10, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and talking about Jesus gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. There he worshipped him and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now he's came to the right man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask. He asked a good question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus began to tell him some things. He saith unto him, verse 18, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. And then he told him what he needed to do. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And when he said those, Jesus only told him that what he needed to do was to do things that dealt with his fellow man. Because Jesus knew the heart of this young man. And he knew that he thought in himself that he had kept those. In fact, the young man spoke up. In verse 20, and said, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now, he actually hadn't kept all of the commandments, or at least even the commandments that dealt with a fellow man, those six that he mentioned here, basically. He hadn't kept them, but Jesus didn't even rebuke him for him saying that, because he knew he was deceived. He knew he was blinded by the god of this world and deceived heart, where he didn't understand. But he was still wanting eternal life. And so Jesus is moving some stones out of the way. He's removing some obstacles out of his way. So we'll go a little further. But he said, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, that's dealing, of course, with really the commandments that deals with God. When he said, one thing you lack us, you've got gods before you. You've got materialistic mind. You desire money. You desire this. You desire that, in essence. But if you really want to come to me, you're going and be my disciple and have eternal life, you're going to have to get rid of all those things. Sell it and give it away to the poor. And in other words, you can't have any gods before you. Jesus later had said in the book of Luke chapter number 14, he said that unless a man's willing to forsake all, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. In other words, that doesn't mean down the road after salvation. That means at the point of salvation. That means he's got to be Lord. Lord of all at the point of salvation. John chapter 6, Jesus had said to those people that wanted to make him king, he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. In other words, it means wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord for them to be saved. Then they wasn't willing to pay that price. They turned in John 6 and walked away. And here this man, he's got demands placed upon him to really forsake all, that you might have no other gods before him, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might become truly a genuine disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be saved. And what did the rich young ruler say? And he was sad at the saying, didn't say anything. He's just sad. He didn't want to get rid of his gods. He didn't want to get rid of his money. He was sad at the sayings and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? That word hardly means with difficulty. It's not easy for a man with riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? He's got some gods in his life. He's got some things that he's looking to. He's not willing to forsake all and take Jesus as his supreme Lord of his life. And so, therefore, with difficulty, Jesus said, hardly, they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his word. In other words, they didn't hadn't heard Jesus speak exactly like that. And they said, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Again, the word hard means with difficulty. It's difficulty for them to be saved if they've got riches, because they'll hold on to the riches and never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to be Lord of their heart. So it's not easy to be saved, is what Jesus was saying. In fact, He made a statement that was very profound. And He said in verse number 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, folks, a lot of people want to say, well, this is what happens in Jerusalem. They've got inside the big gate when they close it at night to keep the outsiders out. If somebody's late and they come in with their camel, they can go through the camel's eye gate, which is a small gate inside the big gate that they can open and let the camel get down on its knees and crawl inside the city. And folks, that's not so. That's not what He's talking about here. It's not talking about something that man could do himself or work out himself, because the disciples knew exactly what He said when He meant that. They knew it was a needle eye. It knew it was a sewing needle or a surgeon's needle. And it says they were astonished out of measure. The disciples were saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If what you say is true, Lord, that it's hard, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, He said, then it's impossible for a man to be saved. Who can be saved? And then so Jesus knew what they were saying, and Jesus looked upon them, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. In other words, He's saying man can't do it. Man can't save himself. Man can't pull up his bootstraps and pull himself into the kingdom of God. Man can't work his way into heaven. It can't be done. But it's impossible with man. And yet we've got people today say it's easy to be saved. They say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Say these words, and if you said these words, you are saved. That's a bunch of baloney. That's not true. That's not God's word. Jesus said it's hard. He said it's with difficulty. So it's not easy to be saved, because man don't want to yield to the lordship of Christ. Man does not want to surrender. That's why many people today are preaching what we call, they deny repentance as far as salvation is concerned. They deny a lordship salvation. And when you do that, you've got no salvation. You've got nothing but hell awaiting you if that's what you're holding on to. Because you see, a man must forsake all. And that's a repentance that has to, and that's a work of godly sorrow. And it's good to be grieved. The man was grieved, but yet he was grieved with worldly sorrow, and worldly sorrow worketh death. It kept him in his, locked him into his, to going on his same old way. And that man went to died and went to hell, as far as all indications are concerned, because of the fact that he did not come God's way. He did not heed what God said. So is it easy to be saved? The answer to that is definitely no. It's not easy to be saved. It's impossible with man. In other words, this easy believism crowd will tell you you can't get saved when you want to. You've got to have the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, you've got to have a preacher of righteousness, by the way. And you've got to have a striving spirit. You've got to have an open doors, a message we've dealt with about dealing with the fact, can a man be saved in this ungodly world? Yeah. Because of the fact, like in Noah's day, there's an open door, there's a striving spirit, there's a preacher of righteousness. And in our day, you've got to have an open door, a striving spirit, and a preacher of righteousness. And so you've got to hear the preaching of the Word. And you're not going to have the understanding you need, even at one time, hearing the Word one time. You will not understand about sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the Bible said in John 6:44 and 45, it talks about being drawn by the Father which sent me. And except you be drawn, you can't come. So it takes the Holy Spirit to draw you. But He said, it's written, every man's taught of the Father, but he that hath heard and learned, which means to understand, cometh to him. Not yet to him, but he cometh to him. And you see, all those on good ground, Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, they had understandeth. They understandeth something. That means to put it together. God had enabled them to put together with understanding about sin, of unbelief, about the righteousness, who's God, about judgment. Sure, it's the wrath of God. But folks, God don't save you just to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. So when He come, He may deal with you in any order He wants to, but it has to be a completed work in those areas. And these people who are trying to say with these little old tracts, repeat this prayer after me, and then if you prayed that prayer, they'll say, if you prayed that prayer, you're now welcome you into the kingdom of God. Not so. The disciples knew that Jesus was saying it's impossible with men, but not impossible with God. God can put a camel through the eye of a needle if He so choose to do so. He doesn't do things foolishly, but you get the point. He's God. He's God. He can do what He wants. And He can take a man that's holding on to his riches, and through godly sorrow and Holy Ghost conviction, the work of reproval, He can bring a person to the end of himself and cause him not to desire those riches anymore. Even if necessary, to go out and sell them. Did not Zacchaeus, the wee little man up a tree, come down? And what did he do? He said, I'll sell that I've got and restore fourfold. He was going by law. He was said, I'll give anything I've taken wrongfully. Listen, he gave them up in his heart. Now, did that mean he was a pauper from then on? I don't think so. I don't really think he was. I think he had some things. But the thing about it, if you want to hold on to it, you can hold on to a dime and make it and cause you to be to really never be saved. But it's not easy, is what I'm saying, to be saved. It's an impossibility with man. And these preachers who say, well, I can get the job done. I know what it's like, and I know how to get the job done. Baloney. They don't know how to get the job done. I don't know how to save anyone. I can't save anyone. But I preach to you the Word as a preacher of righteousness, and pray the Spirit of God will complete His work of Holy Ghost conviction. And as a striving spirit, He'll show you the door, who's Christ. He'll use the law to back you in a corner and say you can't attain what the law says you need to do. You can't keep the law. This man didn't keep the law. He thought he did, but he didn't. But he sure didn't want about God. Had another God before him. And you'll look at the law and all 10 commandments. You'll come to the place to say, I've broken them, every one. I'm guilty before a holy God. And whenever God uses the law to back you in a corner and let you realize that I'm incapable of saving myself, I can't, but He can, then the Holy Spirit will show you the door. And the door is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's open today. A striving spirit, an open door, and a preacher of righteousness can bring in. But that takes a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction. Folks, Holy Ghost conviction is not an easy thing to go through. It's not something going to happen just in a little 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 minutes. Not going to do it. You're not going to come down the aisle popping your bubble gum, smacking your bubble gum and blowing bubbles like some do. No. No, when God's Holy Spirit hovers over you and brings you to the end of yourself, I want to tell you, you'll recognize it's not easy to be saved. In fact, it's with difficulty. It's hard to be saved. And so therefore, the question, is it easy to be saved? Man says it is, but God said it's with difficulty because it takes His work to get the job done. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.